So today in the studio, we have the Miss Janie Brown joining us on Let That Music Out. How you doing today, Janie?
I'm excellent. I'm feeling so good. I always love talking with you. So
I love talking with you, too.
That immediately makes a good day.
Absolutely. I love talking with you, too. So as you know, we just kind of started this podcast quite recently, and I thought that it would be really appropriate to have someone like you come and join us and sit down and talk and share your experience and share what you do within the music business, as well as fitness, as well as mental health and some other things. So I want to kind of let you intro it and kind of say who you are and tell us what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Janie Brown, and I've been a performer for a long time. I've been on stage every single year of my life for 27 years. And I have a psychology degree. I'm trauma-informed, huge mental health advocate. And I'm just, you know, my mission is to help artists and performers kind of, you know, prevent them from going through the same hell that I did in the music industry, and help them just align with their truest self and their truest, you know, authenticity, and help that shine through their art and help them connect to a higher purpose. And so, yeah, that's my mission. I mean, I like to do that for all people, but obviously being an artist myself is, that puts a special emphasis on wanting to help the artist community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in your work, and we've had these conversations quite a bit, in your work, I'm just going to jump right into it. What do you feel is one of the toughest challenges that creative people, that artists face? Like, what is, you know, overall, what would you say is, you know, like a major one?
Yeah, it's a
common
great,
thread.
Like, great question. Common thread, self-worth and lack of it. Just wow. This feeling of I'm not deserving of the money that I should be getting paid or others should be getting paid. I'm not deserving of good mental health. I'm not deserving of good people. I'm not deserving of joy and happiness, just this undeserving. And obviously I don't want to speak for all artists, but that's a theme that was true for me and true for a lot of people in my community. And I don't know if you can see that for yourself too.
Yeah. Like, it's funny, just before we started taping, I was saying, you know, for me, music, you know, within the music itself, you know, the opportunities just always seem to be there and be abundant, where I feel like I think you nailed it, where I struggled at as well. And still sometimes it's like knowing your worth, like knowing how much to ask for, you know, when negotiating, you know, in that regard, also in personal relationships, you know what I mean? Establishing stronger boundaries. So, you know, cause we walk this line, you know, in creativity where we sometimes have to do business together, but sometimes we're also friendly and friends. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people might, you know, overstep or, you know, kind of take your kindness for weakness. So knowing your worth. And I agree. I think self-worth is a huge one.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Totally. I mean, there's obviously other themes, but that's one that just kind of it's resonating with me in terms of reflecting on that.
Absolutely. So I'm going to go to my next question. So how did you get started in the music business specifically?
Yeah. So I started out performing in musical theater. I did that all through my childhood. And then around 17 or 18, I started getting into recording arts. So I was, you know, on a mission to become a solo artist and a songwriter. And that's, you know, where that started. And then, you know, throughout the last pretty much two decades, that's been sort of what I've been working on and fine tuning. And it's been a joy for the most part.
But like, come on, more specific. Like, how did you, like, what was first big opportunity? Like, well, how did it, you know, when did you kind of really step into it?
Yeah. I mean, I was all the way in musical theater in my childhood, but I was going to go to school for it when I first got out of high school. And I just realized that particular part of the entertainment industry wasn't for me. And I really, I knew that I wanted to write. That was probably one of my first passions when it came to music, was just putting pen to paper and developing these melodies around the words that I came up with. And that's kind of what led me to drop out of college after the first year and get into recording. And I moved to Toronto. I guess it was 18. I moved out at 17, moved to Toronto at 18. And at that time, I had won a contest on Soul 93.5. I think that's what the radio show is called. I might be think it was Soul 93.5. Anyway, I won a contest, and I had the amazing opportunity of working with Socrates, who's a Canadian hip hop legend. And that was kind of how the recording aspect of my career got started specifically. I met at the time too on set, my makeup artist for the set of my first short track EP, the one that Socrates mostly produced. This makeup artist and I like connected like mother and daughter, and I moved in with her. She's a beautiful Guyanese woman named Roxanne. I moved in with her and she became family. And that was sort of like my integration into Toronto after being from a small, you know, coming from a small town. So my music career as a recording artist and solo artist and songwriter started at that moment. And I'd say my second life, you know, as an adult and as someone who was becoming an adult and someone who was being immersed in a culture that I'd never, you know, really been exposed to before, that all started at the same time.
Absolutely. Wow, that's amazing. So then you were in Toronto, obviously one opportunity, one thing started leading to another. Mm-hmm. So then what happened? Like, I understand that at one point you were like signed to a major company, major deal. Mm-hmm. When did that happen?
Yeah.
Did that happen from being in Toronto, or is that?
Yeah. So, okay, here's the other thing about it. It was like, you know, when I moved to Toronto at 18, I was, you know, that it was a hustle. It wasn't like all of a sudden I like got a deal and all of that. It was, you know, I was kind of working out of this like really, you know, low key studio. I think at the time it was in an old building and the guys that owned the place like ripped out the bathroom and made that the booth.
Wow.
So that's what we were dealing with. Air conditioning in the summer. Like, just
love that.
Yeah. I definitely have an affinity when I think back to that place. So that was my first recording studio, obviously after Socrates. That was, you know, a great kind of starting point. And then it was kind of back to the streets after that. So, you know, I was recording out of there. I was working as a waitress, and I was teaching fitness, and that was kind of my hustle. And about 6 years into that sort of pattern, then I met a fellow from New York who, he was a Grammy award-winning producer for Alicia Keys, and he was starting kind of an independent label and an independent sort of production company. And I signed to him, and that was my first major, record deal, if you will.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And that was quite the experience.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So then from another conversation I remember, and then you had kind of come back into the fitness world and doing more of that with, tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah.
You have such a cool journey and a resume.
Yeah, that was wild. So fitness and athleticism is always part of my path. Like, I was a gymnast, and, you know, for a very short period of time, that was like my intro to, you know, let's say athleticism. I specify there because I have a friend who was from the NCAA, and so I don't want to, like, if she hears this, she'd be like, you weren't a gymnast.
Right.
And she'd be right. I was not a gymnast. I started out in gymnastics, to be fair. Specific. Then I got into kickboxing and I became a black belt. And that was kind of like my segue into athleticism and fitness. And so when I moved to Toronto, I was like, I have to keep this up. Like, this is just part of my life now. And I was an avid sort of gym goer. And that kind of led me to start teaching fitness. And so for about 15 years, kind of parallel to my music career and my music journey, I was also teaching fitness and developing my skills there. Mm-hmm. And that actually was profoundly fruitful for me. I ended up, you know, being involved in professional sports, and I taught NHL players movement sequences and mindset and breath and things like that. So I did quite well in that side of
very well. So much so that you also ended up getting a sponsorship from Under Armour.
That's right. Yes.
That's huge.
Oh man, that's been such a fruitful, abundant partnership. They are a really great company through and through. Like, they really do try to be progressive and evolving, and they're so generous, and the team, at least my Canadian team, is just so family oriented and like lovely people through and through. So like, you see these big companies that you work with, you're not sure what you're gonna get, but with Under Armour, like, what I can say for sure is I believe in their mission, their company, their people. You know, it's not just like an influencer situation. It's like, you know, it's a family. It's a
real
team.
Family. Yeah. Shout out to Under Armour.
Yeah, shout out to Under Armour, man. Especially Under Armour Canada.
Under Armour Canada. Okay, cool. So, man, and then I remember when I first met you on that fateful day in the beaches, I'll never forget, you were just launching something called Fierce Academy.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about that and what that's all about.
Right. That's a great question. So as we've just discussed, I've, you know, been on this music journey all this time. I had been on my fitness journey all this time. And I was quite exhausted running two careers. Like, they were not intersecting at all. It was sort of like my fitness life and my music life. And it was too much to do both. I thought, you know, I can't give up fitness because that's kind of where, and like, you know, yoga and sort of mindset and mental health. I don't want to give up that because that's where most of my money's coming in. And I can't give up music because it's my passion, like not an option kind of to give up either. And I thought, why don't I blend them somehow? And with Fierce Academy, you know, one thing we haven't talked about yet is just my, let's say, debilitating journey with stage fright and anxiety and performance anxiety kind of this whole live long way. And as I started getting into therapy and working with that, I started to overcome it. I started to see different paths and techniques and tools and skills that I could apply to overcome that. And I thought, what if I take all of my fitness and nervous system and anatomy learnings from sort of the fitness career, and what if I take all of my performance experience and music industry navigation and, you know, singing experience, and what if I blend those two, you know, experiences and knowledges together and create a program that helps artists overcome stage fright and manage their mental health and build confidence? And that's what Fierce Academy is. It's spelled F-E-A-R-C-E because the foundation of it is it encourages us to face our fears and to not only face them, but integrate them into our experience. You know, the more you learn about fear and anxiety, the more you start to understand, well, that's a human experience. It's actually just connected to this survival structure. And so we can't be fearless necessarily. We can't just rid fear altogether. But what we can do is we can, you know, we can start to manage it. We can integrate it into our experience and use it as fuel and sort of evolve and rise that way. So that was the intention of Fierce Academy, was to provide these coaching programs. And now there's going to be a book soon to help artists specifically, you know, really deal with the challenges that we face as artists head on.
Absolutely. Well said. I love that. Man.
Love that you love that.
Of course. Okay, so what was your, I guess, so far in your career, because I know there's more to come, your peak experience, you know, within the music side of your career? Like, what would you say? A peak experience, something huge that you just like, wow, this was one of those moments.
That's such a good question. I mean, there's been a lot of highlights. You know, I'm blessed. There's a lot of things that, you know, in our private conversations that I've like griped about. It's mostly on the industry side and the people side. But when I look at, you know, the opportunities or some of the wins, some of them have come from like what I would never have expected. Like, you know, like commercial things, like when I landed the CFL on TSN theme song, that was, you know, that was a big deal for me at the time. Yeah. And like, it, even though it's not my song and it's, you know, it's kind of in the commercial side of things, like I just thought that was such an abundant experience. And I'm still in the voiceover work and singing jingles and stuff. And I still love it. Like, I still think it's so much fun and the money's great. So things like that. I have to say that one of my most proud moments in the industry was when I released Thank You for Loving Me. You know, that wow. truly. So for people listening, Roy was the co-producer on that. It was my first co-production credit. I've never produced anything technically myself. You know, it was a very simple ballad, just a piano, you know, with Ken De Los Santos on piano. He's an amazing classical musician. And this song, I wrote it like 10 years ago. And it's just gone through its own journey. Like the song itself could have its own documentary, kind of like You'll Never Walk Alone. And it's, you know, that could be its own documentary. It's like it's gone through its own pain and its own suffering and its own evolution. And when I wrote it, I was in such a different place than I was in when I released it. And releasing it helped me release all of the, or a lot of the pain and suffering and like trauma that I was experiencing at the time of writing it. It was like not just releasing this song that I cared about, it was releasing the history that went along with it and the whole journey and evolution of it. So that, I gotta say, like that there was something that happened there with that one song. And if you're an artist, you'll probably be able to relate to this, especially an artist that's an OG who has all these songs in the vault, who has all these songs on the shelf, that it can keep you up at night. You know what I'm saying? It's not just this, it's not just a song. It's not just a, you know, a little creation. It's a part of you. It's like a birthing. And, you know, to have that locked away and nothing done with it and just all of the, just all that goes into that is, it can be very, very painful. Like it's not this benign sort of annoyance. It's like deeply painful to lock, you know, your creations away. And so, yeah, as an artist, I'm sure anyone listening, like you can relate to this feeling of like, and now it's out in the world, like next, you know, it's just sometimes you can't move on until you release these things that, you know, and it's not ours to keep anyway, you know, anyway, like, you know, that's, I'll stop there. But.
Well, I mean, that's why I think it was important. And again, I like to come to you from time to time and just vent as well. And for me, let that music out. Is that right? Because I come to realize from working with so many amazing artists and being so close to singers that the music that's inside needs to come out.
That's right.
Right? Those stories, those melodies, those things, you need to write about them. And for us, that's the only way to process it is in song, is in expression, you know, through this art that we call music. And, you know, you saying that about that song, I didn't expect you to say that was the song that, but I like that you said something happened for you. And that's what I love to see.
Right.
Like, I love that. And even making a record, like the journey of me and you working at the different studios, cancel this session, not this.
They lost files at one point.
Yeah, like, these are the things that happen, right? And then we just keep moving and we got it done.
Yep.
And for me, I was like, yo, when you called me, it was like, Roy, it's done. I was like, I did the exhale. I was like, ah, oh, yes. And that feeling when you know that you nailed it for your artists, that, you know, you did the thing, they're happy with it. It's amazing. That for me is amazing. So thank you for saying that.
Thank you for being a part of the journey. Honestly, like it was so, you were so helpful on this journey because you, first of all, you said, no, you're going to be a co-producer. I was like, you're the producer. And you're like, no, you're a co-producer.
Absolutely.
Like, you're going to claim that and you're going to own that from this point on. That was helpful. It was helpful that you just stuck it out with me because, to your point, even you saw in the, you know, in the 2 years or whatever that we were working on it, which is crazy. Just even think, even 2 years for a song is like an abundant amount of time. Even that. Yeah, you were seeing all this, like, it was almost like the song itself had its own, you know, blockages or whatever that it was hanging on to the past.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like, yeah, it was wild, right? Like, it was just so, the instances that happened. So, and that was just a part of it. That was 2 years out of the 10 years, like, of this thing. So, I think, too, there's even things that I'm not even really still aware of that song is doing as it's out there. That I'll maybe process later or whatever. But yeah, and I think I'll just say this too. This is really helpful for me to grasp. When I wrote the song, it was from this place of like feeling so broken and feeling so, like feeling like underneath it all, I was just kind of like a monster, or like I was the dirt off of someone's shoe. Like that was kind of the vibe that I was feeling when I wrote it. Like, just, you know, and you know what it's about, like, thank you for loving me even though I'm, you know, whatever, I can be heartless and I can be a devil and all these things. And when I sang it, like by the time it was recorded for the last time and it was performed for the last time, I was in this place of like singing to the girl that wrote it, like singing to the girl that was the monster or felt like she was broken.
Right.
It was like this whole self, this whole part of me, like me as a whole person singing to that part. It was like I was a part when I wrote it and I was whole when I sang
it. Wow. Wow. That's amazing. Okay. So my last question, and then I want to play Thank You for Loving Me. We're going to continue this.
I love that.
We're going to have part 2 and 3 and 4.
We got so much. 100%.
Last question. What can we expect from you in 2024 moving forward? What's next for Janie Brown?
So I'm very excited to, can I announce the?
Yeah, you can.
Okay. Yeah. I'm very excited to be signing a publishing deal with TuneClick, which is your American publishing company.
Absolutely.
And that's a dream come true. Like truly, I said I would never sign another contract ever again.
Yes, you did. You've told me a number of times.
Yeah, because it wasn't just, you know, after the Grammy award-winning producer, you know, there was another one after that, and I'd had enough. But this has been such a healing process, and I'm so excited because this is oriented around the songwriting aspect, and mm-hmm. that's such a nourishing, important part of myself. So I'm so excited to be doing business with you in that way.
Likewise.
I will be releasing a book. I will be acquiring my graduation certificate from psychology, my Amazing. Psychology degree. I will be hopefully acquiring a U.S. visa so I can, you know, spread let that music out word to, you know, all different parts of the States.
Absolutely.
Hopefully a lot more travel and adventure, and for sure, at least one more song release. At least,
maybe more than that.
Yeah, hopefully.
Well, I'm going to load it up. Is there anything else you want to say while I load this amazing song? Because we have to play it on the show.
I'm so excited to play it on the show. Yeah, I mean, I'm just grateful, man. I'm just trying to, you know, stay positive and really just remind myself of what I deserve. And if I can remind myself of my self-worth, you know, someone who once felt like they were broken and deserved scraps, if I can remind myself that I deserve the world, then I can help other artists remind themselves that they deserve the world.
Absolutely. Well, God bless you, Janie Brown, and we're excited to have you here. We're excited for the future, and I want to play this amazing song and inspire some people.
Thank you.
Here we go.
I can be heartless and a little reckless, moody and selfish, act like a princess. I'm a handful and out of control. I live to fight and I don't play nice. Sometimes I spiral so far down, I don't think I'll come out. But there you are, wide open arms. Somehow I'll make you proud. I can't imagine what you see when the war and passion crazy and a little dirty, the perfect train wreck. I can't help it, I'm no devil, but far from an angel. I'll get you cornered, then share the torture. I can't imagine. I can't imagine what you see when the war and passion pierce through me.
Totally.
We ended up using like an 808 type.
Right.
Song. I'm remembering the whole thing. Right. But then right. I almost laughed.
Remember we were debating on the lyric corner to share the torch. All right, we can talk about this for days.
Yeah,
JD,
man.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
All right.